Well, we are in the Josephine County Board of Commissioners Conference Room on Tuesday, March 19th, 2019. 2 o'clock for our legal counsel update. Item number one, Community Dispute Resolution Program Grant.
Okay, where we left off was the board has the choice of either opting in or opting out of the grantee selection process. Since then, Pat, my office, contacted the current contract holder, which is a company called Resolve, and they confirmed that company, Deltra is who we worked with there, confirmed that Resolve is currently the only provider in both Jackson and Josephine County. And so that's been the case the last at least two cycles that I can recall. This is something like every 2 years. We also connected with the courts, and that was also their assessment was that there's only one provider. So, you know, I guess upside of opting into the selection process is that it's going to be something that's quite formal, and if that's something we want to do, then that's always an option. On the other hand, it does cost money because we do have to do formal RFP. We have to notice in the newspaper, and it's going to kind of extend the process for a couple of months. So, recommendation is to just opt out of the selection process. We would then draft a letter based upon a prior year's opt-out letter for the board to consider at next business session in order to meet the deadline of March 29th, and that would be would be all set for the next couple of years.
And so we're already opted out now?
Yes, we opted out at least the last two
cycles. At least the last two?
Yes.
Is it a yearly cycle?
Twice, biannually.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so actually, I want to clarify. So this doesn't assign or award a grant to anybody. It just assigns the U of O School of Law to award the grant.
Right.
You know, so it's effectively meaning that yes, Resolve is going to get the grant, which seems to be shaping up either way.
Right.
But there will be still a formal selection process. It just won't be the county that employs that.
Sounds good to me, Dan.
Yeah. We did this right up. We did this right when we came on board, I think.
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
This time of year, every couple of years.
Right. Right.
Do you need a formal approval?
No, I don't. And so what we're going to do is draft up that letter. We'll add it to next week's business session, and you'll see it again then.
We'll get our chance.
You'll get your chance.
And there'll be a resolution, right?
No, I don't.
Well, it says here, by March 29th, County Commission adopts a resolution of desire to participate.
That's if you were to opt in.
If we want in.
Yes.
We're just going to opt out, so just
different.
A letter?
In the past, a letter has been adequate. However, it sounds like somebody new is handling the program at the U of O, and so we'll confirm that that's going to be sufficient for this year. If we find out otherwise, we'll have the appropriate documentation ready for you on Wednesday.
Sounds good. Item two, Charter Oregon Central Assessment Settlement.
Okay, so treasurer/tax collector, Ursi, is also here. She's quite well steeped in this. Probably the first time Commissioner Fowler's seen this particular issue.
Right,
and so
true.
I think Commissioner DeYoung and Commissioner Morgan kind of handled it once or twice along the way, but maybe can we take it from the top? Either I could do it or you could probably.
You can go ahead for the top and I'll give them the bottom, say, bottom line.
Got it. So 10 years ago, based upon a change in Oregon statute, the cable providers, Charter, Comcast, got into a dispute with the Department of Revenue. And that was over whether they are, what's the dispute?
Intangible.
Exactly. Intangible.
And intangible or tangible assets.
Okay.
And centrally assessed.
Yes, the centrally assessed piece.
Okay.
It has kind of gone up and down the legal chain. Mm-hmm. Now it's pending at the Supreme Court.
Of Oregon?
Yes, state right. Supreme Court, yep. So the Comcast, about a year ago probably, came mm-hmm. to a settlement. In their case, there was two separate lawsuits, same issue, but because they're two providers over two service areas, there were two separate lawsuits going on in parallel. Mm-hmm. So Comcast settled with the Department of Revenue for some amount that was less than the total that had been alleged in terms of amount owing. Charter is seeking to settle their lawsuit as well with the Department of Revenue. About a year ago, they presented the county, let's see when that was, well, six about, it was about roughly last August, so not a year ago, but they have previously submitted a proposal to the Department of Revenue and asked for the county's support. And so the county at that time was not inclined to say one thing or another about that. They were just going to let the case
play out. Not take a side.
Not take a side, right. And so Charter has again approached Josephine County and asked if the county would endorse its settlement proposal. Charter represents that it would mean about $1 million in revenue to Josephine County. And our take on it is that the total amount owing is more on the scale of
$1.7 million mm-hmm. plus.
Yep. Okay.
So, and I just did, last I heard at the conference, at a last conference, was sit and wait. And so I emailed this morning to the DOR and did get the confirmation that, yeah, sit and wait. We're not done yet. There are still some issues. Dish is still the one, and there's another little one, I think, still in the lawsuit also with Charter. Charter is really pushing hard on a lot of counties to talk to the DOR, tell them to settle, blah, blah, blah.
What is their total? It says down here that Comcast settled for $150 million of the $200-plus million assessed. Next page says Charter has been assessed $47 million for the years in litigation. What was the total that Charter owed? And if $47 million is the assessment, what did they owe? $100 million?
I don't know, because all I know is what is owed to our county.
Right.
Because it's that total is across all of the counties and that they're in. And I don't know how many counties Charter is in.
But you said ours is like two something?
It's $1.7 million that is on the books right now that is deferred, not been paid.
And they are wanting us to urge the Department of Revenue to settle, and
yeah.
their offer, which would give us $1 million.
Right.
Yes.
But the DOR saying, hold off, because they're trying to squeeze more out of it, that maybe if they squeezed $1.2 million out, we'd get that?
Well, they're kind of saying
$68 million?
The full amount. Yeah, the full amount owed, as opposed to settling for what were basically half, mm-hmm. less than almost half.
Yeah.
Because DOR was, I could actually read it to you want, but it says, okay, they had a conference call with Charter opposing counsel in which they discussed what the view as to the issues remaining in the case with the Supreme Court's decision on the Measure 50 issue in Dish Network. They said they would be sending a settlement offer, which they did, and the department is reviewing it, although we have not yet had a meeting to discuss it. Their remaining issues are essentially discrimination claims, and the same claims that were decided by Judge Brehop against Comcast, and some argument about MAV net additions, which is not raised but the director's review and therefore not properly exhausted for purpose of appeal to the tax court, and unmeritorious anyways. And then some other stuff basically says not to disclose in a public meeting, basically why don't undermine everybody else, because everybody's sitting and waiting, so don't undermine them.
Okay.
So basically, DOR say we're gonna win. Wait.
Yeah,
well,
wait.
Excuse me, Chairman.
No, I'm a vice. But go ahead.
Vice.
Acting chair.
Let's put it this way: if they got to the 75%, if you do what they did for Comcast, Comcast agreed to pay 75% basically of what the total was. So if the total they owe us is $1.7 million,
mm-hmm.
75% of that would be $1.20, $1.30, somewhere
yeah,
in there.
There.
So we would stand to gain
some more,
about yeah. $300,000.
If the settlement goes through,
yeah.
If the court case goes through, it goes 100%.
Correct.
Probably.
But what they're asking us to do is to sign on to urge the DOR, and everybody else is saying, no, let's hide and watch.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm for hiding and watching.
Is yeah, that me too. Well, because nobody should be able to wait 10 years and then pay less for what they owe.
And
I mean,
not to mention,
not
we have really nothing to lose by waiting.
No,
we're not going to get any
get
less
anyway,
because
yeah.
we've already won.
Right.
It's just a matter of just finishing up the last bit.
We can do nothing here. Everybody watch. Okay, that was it. We did it.
We did it very good, too.
Sweet.
Well, Charter, yeah. charters always seems to be in the courts for some.
They have professional lawyers that probably work for them all the time.
Yeah, they're quite often. But
I'm sure.
Well, that's what you.
Yeah, they'd rather pay them than pay us, apparently.
Yeah, I'm good with waiting. That's
okay. Me too.
Do you need a motion or anything for that?
No. I'll communicate that back to charter.
Okay.
Close but no thanks.
Disappointed. Yes.
Close but no cigar.
Thank you.
There you go. Cool.
Here it is.
All right.
Okay, on to more.
Yes, item 3, Senate Bill 365, relating to marijuana.
All right, so we got an email from Rob Avett, who's the legal counsel for AOC, for a summary of what's basically draft Senate Bill 365. Now, the base of the bill is pretty benign itself. It's the amendments that we're kind of looking at. So the base bill prohibits local governments from imposing system development charges on projects related to marijuana production in EFU zones. And it also basically reaffirms prior non-conforming use rights for marijuana production. It doesn't make it specifically in EFU zones, but just kind of as a blanket. The Dash 1 amendments change what the system charges for. Now it's for an increased use of a transportation facility that results from production of marijuana on a property included in the EFU zone. But the Dash 2 amendments are really what we want to emphasize here, is that this declares marijuana production on EFU lands to be an outright permitted use, and it strips counties of the time, place, and manner authority to regulate marijuana production on EFU zones. It disallows counties, cities or counties, from adopting.
Do you need to go on any farther? please, Augusta.
Honestly.
You need to be conversant in this.
Go ahead. Thank you.
But at this point, at least looking at the bill, it seems to only apply to OLCC. I haven't seen any language or any statutory references to medical marijuana, which is kind of confusing.
But would they have to actually declare medical marijuana? But it says at this time, Bill. But why does it look like it only goes to OLCC?
Because of the statutory provisions that are involved. So there's two separate sections in ORS 475B. One deals with recreational marijuana, and the other set deals with medical marijuana. All of those reference statutes in this bill all reference OLCC recreational marijuana.
We don't have system development charges anyway, do we? The county doesn't, not like the city does, as a transportation, you know, and a park SDC. We don't have SDCs. So,
right.
In the county,
we don't provide a lot of infrastructure.
We don't, and it says.
Yeah. That's a good reason for it.
Yes. That's a good reason.
I guess just the roads would be the.
This
only
is the only
one.
Part that I.
County road that's now going to get a lot of water trucks or something.
The part I have a problem with is Dash 2 amendment. It says this allows cities or counties from adopting ordinances which apply to marijuana production sites unless said ordinance equally applies to other farm uses. So, in other words, 2382, which only is applied to marijuana production. All of a sudden, it strikes that from the record, and you can't do that because you're not applying it to corn and lavender and whatnot.
Yeah, it's operation. Yes.
Yeah, you're picking winners and losers.
So,
well,
it's something to weigh.
Yeah, attempt to treat marijuana as the same as other farm crops.
Right.
As not as treating them the same and like not distinct at all.
Well, do we have time, place, and manner restrictions on EFU land?
Yes, at this point in time, we do.
We do?
Yes. And all in really all zones in the county, yeah. And that's for both recreational and medical.
What, like you can't run a tractor at night or what?
Well, there are certain things that we can talk about at another time. But
okay, gotcha.
Well, that's an example, though, that sort of thing.
Right, mm-hmm. Just yes. Generic.
Yeah.
Example.
And
so this is for information only. There's no action item.
Well, the recommendation we got was to voice your opposition to the senator for the area.
Right.
And then make your opposition known to this, should you so choose.
Another one is item number 2-2 amendments, item 1, prohibiting the outdoor production of marijuana within 100 feet from the boundary of a lot or parcel that is used for production of marijuana. Our ordinance says there's 100, you know, we've already addressed that in our ordinance. So now our ordinance doesn't mean anything anymore?
We can talk about that at another time, how it might affect our ordinances or ordinance.
Right.
What is our, well, I guess we'll do it later, but I just, my question that you can, what does our ordinance say about growing marijuana on EFU? It doesn't have any setback on EFU. There isn't any setbacks on EFU for your grow corn right up to the fence.
I should give you that.
Our ordinance right now is only on RR, the one we did the other day.
Not necessarily, no. I mean, there's two separate ordinances, right? The rural residential ordinance and then the annual compliance certificate ordinance that would apply to all zones in the county.
That would apply to all zones, including EFU. But that doesn't have a setback element to it.
No.
The ordinance number 2 has no setback provision in it at all. Only ordinance 1 on rural residential has a setback element, correct? All right, okay. By item number 2, the disallow cities or counties to adopt ordinance, I would not be in favor of this, just on that one alone.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Is that a good enough reason to not do that? Because it stops anything going forward from here on out. I see this as a play to stop anything. This has got Anthony written all over it. And Anthony's just protecting it. And he'll come back and go, well, guess what? SB 365 says, and so therefore you can't do anything. Anything you come up with in the future that has to do with marijuana production is out the window.
Yeah, we want to keep local controls.
I don't want the state coming down and saying, no, you missed out, while they stalled around with 2382, and they stall until this thing goes through the Senate, and then they go, sorry, you missed out. Should have been a little bit. You should have paid a little more
attention. The next work session for this bill is on Thursday. This Thursday.
Okay.
So. My recommendation would be to voice your opposition, should you so choose.
All right,
so this is happening faster, and wouldn't want to wait till the first of the month meeting at AOC to tell us this. No. That's why it's coming this way.
Yes.
Yeah, got it.
Did AOC give a recommendation?
This is from them, I think.
The summary that I drafted, okay. But the recommendation that I've given to the board is from AOC as well, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm opposed to it. A couple of different fronts. On the 100-foot setback boundary, because we don't have anything in ours about it, and also on the
so we get a hold of like permanent
disallow adopting of ordinance to apply to marijuana Senate production sites.
Because it's on the Senate side?
Yes.
Okay.
Reason we've got started on this, and they said, well, you can't single out marijuana. I said, yes, you can. It's still controlled substance, federally controlled substance.
There you go.
That's why you can single it out, and it's not lavender, and it's not corn, and it's not strawberries. It is a federally controlled substance, still
makes
at this
sense.
Time. And unless,
for now.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
We'll draft a letter. It'll go out of my signature since... We're going to have a meeting between now and Thursday, and it'll just encapsulate the gist of what the board has discussed and determined today.
That'd be great.
That sounds good.
You'll take care of that?
I will. We will, and I'll submit it. It's in Judiciary Committee, Senate Judiciary?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll submit it to the Senate Judiciary input.
Great.
Okay.
Box.
All right, that was item 3. Item 4 is additional subjects or matters from commissioners. Do you have anything you've got to say, sir?
No.
No?
Okay.
All right, then, on Tuesday, March 19th, 2019, at 2:19 p.m., we will go into executive session.
and we'll let you know when we come back. We're going to discuss Mercy Flights Incorporated versus Josephine County, case number 117CV01760CL. Okay. Even though they're not here.
Yeah, they
approved representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave. And we mean it. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about the subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session. As previously announced, no decision may be made in the executive session. At the end of the executive session, we will return to open session and welcome the audience back into the room. The recorder will be turned off again at 2:20 this time. Well, it's 2:45 and we are back in session after leaving executive session where we're just updated on the status of that case. Item 6 is additional subjects for matters of commissioners. Anything come up while you were
in executive session? Nope, not while I was there, not while we were in executive session.
All right then, I'll officially end this meeting at 2:45.
All right. Thank you, and I'm